नमो तस्सा भगवतु अरहतु सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स। नमो तस्सा भगवतु अरहतु सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स। नमो तस्सा भगवतु अरहतु सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स। बुद्धं धम्मं संघं नमस्सामि। Life is ever changing. Do you ever notice life staying the same? Sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's unpleasant. So, what are we trying to wake up to? Someone asked, "Tell me what to do when I'm having trouble at work and people won't behave properly and I don't know how to stop it and I get so angry. I just need a mantra. I need something. Give me a word. Give me a formula." And I said, "It won't work." "Why? Why won't it work?" "It doesn't work because we still believe that we are this self and we can somehow control conditions and make the other selves behave properly, or make this self learn to behave properly." So just having something appear in your mind and blank out all the suffering, it doesn't work. We can never control the world. We can never stop things from being as they are. As a kid, did you ever say, "I'm never going to grow up"? And then we grow up, and then we get old, or we get sick, and then we die. But when we realize that everything is impermanent, right there, that understanding that everything is impermanent, and that's where the suffering arises. So we know that it hurts. It's painful to be aware of that and to cling to it. But if we don't cling to it, then it's not a problem. If we don't hang on to things being the way we want. Who is wanting? What is this wanting? If we can rest in knowing, knowing things as they truly are is knowing impermanence, suffering, and the emptiness of it all. But those words don't ring true until we can silence the mind or the heart, the anxiety, the anger. If we can just sit and observe or sit with that feeling and watch what happens to it. To be the watcher. When we're watching pain, that's not what we truly are. That's just what the moment is. So we are what cures pain. What we truly are is that which heals pain. How do we heal pain? This is why the Buddha recommended these practices. It's the three-step program: virtue, the still, silent mind, and insight, knowledge, knowing, realizing. But we can't just grab the peace or the joy of the silent mind, the still mind, the peaceful mind. We can't just hang on to that without understanding how it arose. We think that if we can stop the suffering, then it'll just be beautiful. If we can make it all go away and go to the peaceful place, it'll stay like that forever. It won't. It can't. We haven't understood the project. We haven't understood why we're here in this body, in this human realm. We're not in a paradise realm. We're in a human realm. And these bodies are of the nature to suffer. They arise, born, and they last for a certain time, and then they disappear. But what does not disappear is that which knows this whole process. So what we truly are blessed with and benefit from is to go to that pure presence, that knowing, that deep awareness of this process and understanding all conditioned things. We're conditioned. Very conditioned. The person that I think I am, was born in Montreal, Canadian. You know, I have all these identities and lived here and lived there. And you can do an analysis of the blood. You can do fingerprints. You can identify. We can all be identified. What do we identify as? Well, there's so many identities you could have. Some people try to hide their identity. They did bad stuff, then they want to get a new identity so they won't be discovered. You can steal an identity, but it doesn't work because it's not true, it's fake. And everything that we believe in is the same. It's not the truth. It's just a belief in the mind. Even believing that I'm a Buddhist, but that's not who I am. I'm not a Buddhist. That's just a label. But to know what we truly are is the project, to study this flow of conditions arising and ceasing, arising and ceasing, and to be aware of the state of the mind and how we perceive things and how much we add onto what we're seeing based on our conditioning. I don't know the food in Assam. I've never been there, I've never eaten it, I wouldn't know it. But mental food is the same. All human beings. This is why the Buddha was the greatest doctor, because he could diagnose the disease of all human beings, which is not to understand anicca, dukkha, anatta. All beings can understand impermanence. No matter what country, what age, whatever identity we want to have, we know, if we delve deeply into the silence of the heart, we develop the virtue and the stillness enough to go deeply and see it's all impermanent. It has nothing solid in it. And then we can delve into what is true, what is sustainable. Nothing else can be sustained. The worldly paradise is not sustainable. The wedding party is not sustainable. We had this beautiful event last week, and everyone was in such a very beautiful mood. Wasn't it a lovely gathering, full of happy beings? And we have a lovely result. Our Sangha is bigger. And people were in a joyous mood. And after they left, I heard one lady asking someone else, "How was it?" "Oh, it was really great." And I thought, wedding, ordination, these wonderful events where everybody rejoices. Why do we rejoice? Because we're with people who share our values, and we can share the happiness and the peace and the joy of that camaraderie. But it doesn't last. Then we have to go back to different economic, cultural, family, job conditions and situations. And some of them might be very unpleasant. So if we look inward, there within us there is a lightness, a godness. We don't have to believe anything. If we believe, we will disagree. If our relationships are based on beliefs, there will come a point where it doesn't connect anymore because we believe different things. Eventually, there'll be an argument. There'll be a disagreement. Or we'll get sick and suffer over that. What is your suffering? The mind adds a layer of suffering onto the ending of the joy. Because it's just following its nature. The party cannot be sustained. But if we can go deeply enough into the present moment and go from moment to moment with a mind that knows impermanence, the suffering nature of impermanence is just that. But then we see it's empty, that's not me. Then we're just present and we're alive and connected to each other with love. We can bring that loving quality into the heart and be grateful. Even if it's all changing, there's something so wondrous here, a joy that doesn't die, that isn't based on camaraderie or things being perfect, but it's based on connecting with each other in spiritual friendship. And if we have spiritual friendship here and now, even when someone is very sick and they cannot help you anymore, serve you anymore, do things for you anymore, because you love them, you would care for them. If someone is in trouble, you would love them and help them. These are the qualities that bring out the best in us as human beings. When we have a happiness to share, we share that together, and then we part with gratitude for those moments. And then when life doesn't give us that kind of happiness, we dig deeper. We understand the truth of what we are. And there isn't a sadness that we get sad about. Yes, loss is painful. But this whole human realm is just about birth, old age, sickness, and death. And then we weave through that, drawing out of it this understanding that we're here to wake up, not to cling to conditions, not to look for happiness in someone else or in situations. And so it's almost like without dukkha, we're in trouble. Without dukkha, how do we know how much love we can really draw out from this conditioned being? Without that suffering, how much can we make sacred? How much can we deeply learn about the most precious diamond, the most precious aspect of our being? This conscious awareness has no judgment in it. When it is pure and we experience the purity of it, it doesn't judge the kind of happiness, that it should last forever, or judge people for what they are or what they are not. It receives this world in all its myriad forms and changingness as just that, because it is not permanent, it is changeable, and it is only by knowing that which changes that we can come to the truth of that which doesn't change. If we were only stuck in the changingness, this is delusion. We would really be in a sorry state. And we always hope when people die, oh, may they go to heaven or be at peace, rest in peace. R.I.P., what does that mean, rest in peace? Well, the body is dead. But what will rest in peace is that consciousness. But the consciousness is peace. It doesn't have to rest in peace. If we are able to return to that true knowing of peace. So this is where the mystery is. Who dies? The body is death-bound. And if we mourn the death of the body, we haven't understood the precious gem that was loved, cherished, and carried in that body. And that's where we can connect in the truest way, by recognizing that in each other, honoring that in each other, supporting that in each other. If we have states of anger within us that we're not able to understand and free, the way you would take a bird out of a cage, then it would be hard for us to reach that wakeful state of knowing the truth of what we are. If we can see the anger, if we can see the depression or the discouragement, but we try to mask it, hide it, pretend it's not there, this will cause for us a prison. It's like we've locked something up, we've thrown the key away and we pretend it doesn't exist. This will be for us jail, and our life will not bear its full fruit. So if we're fortunate enough to have the spiritual friendship that can help release what we're holding and let it be, it's not who we are. We can put it down. Like Ajahn Chah said, it's only a burden if you pick it up or if you carry it. But we can put it down. We can rest in peace. We don't have to wait till the body is finished to rest in peace. We can RIP right here. We can recover insight to realize perfect joy. That's RIP. Recovery, insight, perfect joy. But without suffering, it's maybe a missing piece. Always wanting the suffering to disappear. But that is like a doctor gives you medicine and you don't take it because you think, there's nothing wrong with me, nothing's going to happen with me. So you don't take your medicine, you don't get well. If we don't realize, take this medicine, the Buddha is giving us the best medicine. Study suffering. Study it. Know it. Wake up to it. And see, it's not suffering. It's just the nature of all conditioned things. And then in that, we find the knowing of suffering. So we stop looking to the world for waking up. We look within. It's like turning the mirror this way. The cell phone is such a curious invention because it's got a camera on it. We're always taking pictures. But when we press a button and it flips, right? And then you do a selfie. But with the heart, if you do a selfie of the heart, it means that we're investigating the way we look. But it's not the way we look outwardly. It's the way we look inwardly. And it's actually suggesting, look here. See this for what it is. Know it truly. Don't take a photograph. Just know moment by moment and know that which knows. If we can know that which knows, then we have understood. And we can understand it for a minute. We can understand it in glimpses. But the project is to sustain that understanding. That's why I live in a monastery. Because out in the world, it's a jungle. It was very hard to practice in the world. You're the brave ones. We support each other in one thing. That's waking up. And the world takes you as far away from this as it can. And so we get lost in that. But you know what? People get lost also in listening to talks and in blissful states. But if you get lost in any of that, then we stop investigating the truth that is being known, because it's impermanent. You can't walk around in a blissful state because you'll get hit by a car or you'll fall down the escalator and you're lost. So the samadhi can be a state of losing the plot if we don't use it towards this realization, towards understanding what we truly are and living with that sense of gratitude and joy for every day, every breath, every being that comes our way, whether we like them or not. Thinking is not the way to truth. We can contemplate. Contemplation is not intellectual. Contemplation is being inside the temple. Contemplate. Sitting in the temple of the heart and letting the truth arise within. It doesn't arise in somebody else. It arises here. What we are is indescribable, universal, always here and now, present, for us to wake up to. Pure knowing, here within us. We were born for this.